The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next 2.5 hours here on ESPN 97.5. And then there's Raheel joins us at 9 o'clock. My wife asked this last night. Why does Lance only work 2.5 hours a day? I forget. And I said, I don't know. I forget. That's all.
Why she for NFL, that, you know why? Because
why is she time
because
watching
Raheel
you?
Already said, I'm
why
not
Why is she time watching?
I don't mind that she time watches. There are times I want to stay longer and Raheel won't let me.
No.
And Dell won't let me. They
no.
go, get out of here.
Yeah,
beat
no.
it.
Beat it.
All of y'all say that. Beat it.
Well, I always say I'm beating it when I leave. So, but, well, if you're leaving.
Right.
Right?
No, there's like 6 months that it's hard to stay a lot longer. And there's 6 months is like, well, I guess I'll find it out. Like, I'm almost to that point. Although I did find out, I don't think I have to go to L.A.
You're not going to L.A.?
In early April. They send me out there usually twice for budgetary reasons. They were going to have me out there to do three shows, but then
Dallas and drive and then stay in a little motel or something.
They put us in nice hotels or whatever, but no, I'm going to go to Culver for the draft. I'll be there for the draft, but you know, it's right around the corner. Literally, well, where they put me up, there's two different hotels, and the one where they put me up is walking distance. I was on Colin Coward's show last year. I literally just walked to the lot. It's right there.
Oh, cool.
And so I went there, and I was on their campus, and I got a chance to check it out.
And you did the car wash?
Not for Fox Sports. I did it for NFL Network. I just did Coward's show. That's the only show I did. Colin Coward, his producer... Greg Tuohy. I think Greg listens to this show also as well. He listened through stream when I was at the other station. I'm pretty sure Greg listens here. He's a huge Astros fan. I think he's from Austin. He lived in Houston for a while and then lived in Austin, went to Texas, and he's a huge, huge Houston sports fan. And so he listens to local shows. And Greg's a producer of Colin Coward's show, and so he had me on. And actually, that set is enormous. I mean, it's an enormous set. But it wasn't Kristen Leahy. It was somebody else who was on with him that show. And she had brunette hair. But I've done Colin's show twice. Once, the first time I was at Super Bowl when he was here, and he had me on set to talk draft stuff because he's a huge draft guy. And the light just happened to be at a setting that was right in everyone's eyes. And they told me when I went on, they said, okay, the light's going to be in your eyes. For us. They said, it's too late for us to change it because it's just set up that way and we can't make the changes necessary to it. So I'm just going to warn you. And I thought, well, I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, dude, it was terrible. It's my first time on TV with Colin Coward and I'm trying not to do this the whole time to squint. And I feel like my eyes start watering because I'm trying to look through the sun. It feels like It feels like I was when the eclipse was happening. I felt like I was in the middle of ruining my eyes due to the eclipse. When I was done, you know who was on? Also was Ryan Clark was on previously. When I got off, he goes, "How'd it feel to your eyes?" Because he had been on. He goes, "How about your eyes? How you feeling?" I'm like, "Terrible." He goes, "This is the worst. This is the least professional thing I've ever seen in my life." I'm like, "Why? Well, I mean, I don't know about that."
Well, but he goes on ESPN, and you know they have all the lighting perfect and everything. So, I would imagine that was right there with the most unprofessional. He's never worked here.
Yeah. Well, one time we had Gilbert kick over on our entire Comrex, and
last week or two weeks ago.
We were trailer wheel and frame, getting ready to eat. Our baked potatoes, and Gilbert kicked over everything off the thing while Niall sat there and was telling us about minor league baseball. You ever done that, Ryan? No.
Gilbert and Niall just joined the set is what they did. Yeah. They pretty much...
Hey, Ryan, how's this? This is the least professional. Hold on, I got a new number one.
Here we are live. It was kind of slow. We got the Rockets in Portland tonight. A three-game lead over the Warriors. The Warriors are reeling. You know, one thing that we didn't, that we never took into account, and we certainly haven't yet with a... honestly, the thought was, could the Rockets stay healthy with Chris Paul?
Right.
Eric Gordon has obviously had his issues in the past, although he was healthy last year, and that was a really good sign. But one of the worries when Eric Gordon signed here was whether or not he could stay healthy.
Yep. Well, he's had his moment. Like, he takes time off.
Yeah.
Eric, he hasn't had severe injuries, but he has his moments.
Yeah. No, but for the most part, I mean, would you, are you at all?
This lead now, 3.5, this is awesome. Because you now have chances for Eric Gordon. You already know Nene. Look, Nene is going to be a factor in the playoffs. I know that, you know, we don't think about him too much, but he is going to be important, I think, in certain matchups. Probably not against the Warriors, but maybe in early round matchups, he will be. It'll be important to have a guy who can kind of be a calming presence behind Clint Capella. But this is really giving you a chance to really get that rest that we talked about, where James Harden doesn't need to play more than 28, 30 minutes if you want him to.
Four in the loss column now. This is just and the way that they have played, the Rockets have played, this looks like...
It's been very consistent. It hasn't been a real streaky team. The only time they went on a negative streak was when James Harden was hurt. That was it.
Yeah, they'd lost five straight. That was the worst, obviously, the worst stretch. And James was down. Not for the whole thing. He went down in after a couple games, if I remember correctly. But...
No, he was gone longer.
He was gone that whole time?
Oh. No, not the whole time, but he was gone. He was gone, what, did he miss six games?
They
didn't lose all of them.
Anyway, at Portland tonight. And this is a game that obviously, this is, again, like the Toronto situation. I think Portland has something that they really want to prove. They're going to be in a building that's loud and that's going to be electric. They want to show that they belong with the Warriors and the Rockets. I think they're on a streak that I think they're pretty proud of. They've separated themselves, but they do have something to prove. And so tonight is a trap game. You don't want to fall behind like you did in Toronto and let that crowd go nuts. I think the Rockets are obviously a better team, but Portland is going to come out playing tonight. They're going to play hard.
This is going to be a tough game. On the road, Pacific Northwest against a hot team, it's going to be a good challenge for them. And I think that's good. You need things that challenge you, that get you up. Even when the Rockets lost, who is their loss to?
The Rockets lost?
Yeah.
Recently was Toronto.
Yes, Toronto. That was a game that allowed you to have a playoff atmosphere. Like, it gives you a little test. Yeah. You know, even if you don't pass that test, you still are getting little tests here and there. And I think that's important. And this is going to be one of those too, where you're going in and you clearly want to. Right now, you're playing to keep yourself ahead of Golden State so that you can get some rest late in the season. That's an awesome deal. They're in really good position right now. I mean, the Rockets right now with 70 games, you have 12 to go. You just have to play decent basketball, and you're gonna secure the one seed. You're gonna break the team record for most wins. I mean, you're headed for over 60. This is really an impressive season for the Rockets.
You're heading for the number one seed the first time. You were number one at the All-Star break for the first time. You've got an MVP this year in James.
And you're going to be number one in the league.
Number one in the league,
yeah.
That you've never done before. This is all new territory for the Houston Rockets, which is awesome. And now you're coming off 9 out of 12 on the road. This was just a brutal, brutal stretch. Five straight at home against Detroit, New Orleans, Atlanta, Chicago, and Phoenix. You should win all five. I don't know that that's even they're going to be big favorites in most all of those. New Orleans, maybe, you know, I don't know what's New Orleans. They're going to be a 7-8 point. That may be the least, the tightest spread that they'll have. Detroit, pretty good. Maybe Detroit will be about 7 or 8. New Orleans will be about 7 or 8. Atlanta should be 12 or 15. Chicago, same way. Phoenix, same way. This is a stretch now. And with a four games in the loss column, your Houston Rockets are headed down the stretch as the best team in the NBA. And that's a lot of fun. This is going to be, and very interesting, at San Antonio. We'll see what happens if they're all back. But then Washington, Portland here, Oklahoma City here, finishing up at Los Angeles and at Sacramento. This is a fun time. This is, we're heading down the stretch. I don't know. It was hard. I don't know for you guys. Was it hard watching the Rockets this weekend with all the college basketball on?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, it's so different.
I was late getting to the Minnesota, the soft push of Chris Paul that Chris flopped on the ground. I mean, Chris is clearly, it's a flop. But Gerald Green is not having it.
No.
And Gerald Green got a little testy with it. And, you know, this Rocket team, I don't feel like there's a lot of pranksters. Like, there's not the Dwight Howard. There's not the goofiness of Josh Smith or the Dwightness of Dwight Howard. When Dwight was really good early on when he came over, and then, you know, physically he just wasn't able to go. They seem like they have a lot of kind of serious dudes about basketball, which is good. That's what you want. But Bamute, Chris Paul, P.J. Tucker, there's not a lot of joking in P.J. Tucker's game. As a matter of fact, my kids were, you know, we went to the game like an hour and a half early because we were going to have a chance, we thought, to go to for them to meet a couple of the players, but definitely watch a shoot around. And then
so you disappointed your kids again?
Well, we didn't get to because Tad Brown was going to introduce him to some of the players, but he got caught up. He wasn't able to get to the game.
Yeah, so you disappointed your kids again?
Well, they got there early. They had pretty good seats. They got to hear Danny Green say bad words. So they got to hear Popovich.
I know, but they were disappointed.
One of them made a comment. I wish we would have met the players. Okay, Mr. Ingrate.
Yeah.
Mason the snitch. But anyway.
Now sit backwards, Mason.
I know. Turn around. So we're there watching, and they were like, Trevor Ariza, you know, waving. Mm-hmm. Like, and I just said, can y'all be cool like y'all been to a game before and stop acting like a bunch of dorks? And so they kept doing it, and eventually they would get just a very, very modest. And I went upstairs to go get like a load of baked potato or something. They're like 14. And I came down, and they go, P.J. Tucker. He's not very friendly. So what do you mean? So we were saying, P.J. Tucker. And he turned and just started staring at us. I'm like, well, that man's trying to warm up.
Yeah, he's working.
Let that man get his jumpers in. And you know, Alan goes, no, Dad, I'm serious. I don't think he wants anyone talking to him. I'm like, yeah, look at him.
You know how mean and ugly Dad is when he's trying to write up, guard players. from Wyoming? Yeah, that's where P.J. Tucker is right now.
Doing his work right now. P.J. wasn't having any of this. P.J. Tucker, wow. Trevor Ariza. No. P.J. Tucker gave him one mug to the side like that.
Trevor Ariza tried to shank him?
No. Everything was good with Trevor. Eric Gordon, you know, waved.
Yeah,
just
he's
a quick
an
wave.
Indiana guy. Yeah, look, man, P.J. Tucker and Trevor Ariza have been dealing with little white kids asking for stuff for years.
These are
now.
Biracial kids.
They
these are mixed race kids.
They can't tell.
No, they really can't.
They're really white kids.
They're like, oh.
They really can't. You can't really tell.
Yeah. All right, 713 ESPN 97.5.
Like, white kids can't get a little
look. Those guys
nod.
Are like, all right,
from
guys,
Trevor.
All right, hi. Let me go warm up. Leave me alone.
Oh God, another little white kid.
If there were black another kids little, there and they came over and high fived them,
another little pissant white kid.
If they were black kids, they
racially divisive.
If they were black kids, they probably would have got signed shoes.
Yeah, racially divisive.
Probably. 714 ESPN 975 7037 8037 76. Just getting it started on a Tuesday. Come on in. I let love down the drain. There's the pitch, slow and straight. All I have to do is swing and I'm a hero. But I'm zero.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.
Late nights come from long days, doing all the right things in the wrong ways, doing all the wrong for the right reason, sprinkling midnight game, call it night season.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein. Out of my Spalding, and now break your face
with a no look pass. Now back to your parking lot, pimp with your little hook. We should get Gilbert on the show. We haven't talked to Gilbert. I don't know. Gilbert's sitting there waiting.
Let's do that. You know
it's
what?
The shortest wait times.
By the way, my apologies for bringing up I don't know how Sweet Tea. I think it was Chris Beard, and then KJ brought up the point. He has root beer milkshake, but he orders unsweetened tea. And that brought up the whole sweet tea, unsweet tea. Huh. I dealt with that in my Twitter.
Because?
For the rest of the day.
That's because that's what you do.
No, people just kept I retweeted one thing.
I know.
And then it turned into everyone had to comment from around the country. Like everyone. And then I got East Texas chirp. I don't care what East Texas thinks about tea. This is a Houston is we're this is us. Although I did say Texas is a mustard and unsweet tea state. Well, no.
You're talking about the Golden Triangle?
That's Beaumont area. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're considered East Texas. You know how big Texas is? We're East Texas.
Yeah, but I don't feel like we're considered East Texas. We're just our own.
You know what a badass city we are? You know, we're number four. And
we're getting ready to be number three.
Yeah.
Actually, I thought officially we're officially going to be number three. I think we're already considered number three.
I just looked at it the other day. The largest cities. You know, like, do you know Austin is a top 11 city?
Yeah, and do you know that their roadways haven't changed at all? That they keep getting more and more traffic? It's the San Francisco of Texas, and more people move there, and they're all like, please stop moving here, for God's sake. Have you ever seen what housing prices are in Austin?
Well, and yeah, you should have bought
it. Everything's like the Heights.
And if you... The Heights? If you... Yeah, and you leave. I know people that leave here because the traffic sucks so bad, and they go to Austin. How stupid is that? And oh, by the way, what the hell is going on in Austin?
Yeah,
good Lord.
There had another explosion today. This one wasn't in Austin. It was at a FedEx in Scherzer or something like that, Texas. And they think they're almost positive it's related to the same thing. Yeah,
somebody's pissed off at Austin.
My daughter's all upset about it. I had to talk to her. And she goes, I don't know what they're studying, her and my wife. She homeschools with my wife. And she goes, the bombing. She goes, what if they don't catch him? Just like Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper killed five women and was never caught. I'm like, how the hell do you know Jack the Ripper?
How old is she?
What are you studying? Seven.
She's seven, and your wife is teaching her about Jack the Ripper.
She's reading some book of facts, and she told me that Jack the Ripper was never caught. What if they don't catch him? Just like Jack the Ripper. I said, listen, Marty, there have been greater technological advancements in law enforcement since Jack the Ripper in England.
What kind of 7-year-old book is Jack the Ripper?
I have no idea. She'll hit me with all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, so you thought Bert...
You know how long it took to catch John Wayne Gacy?
What? Hey, what are y'all doing right now? Is this the chapter where y'all are doing serial killers?
Yes.
Or what are y'all doing right
now?
Oh, Ted Bundy's up next?
Okay, good.
Let me know.
When's Dahmer?
When do you get to Pennywise and start doing scary clowns? When is scary clowns?
Why is Maddie reading about...
I don't know why she knows about Jack the
Not
Ripper.
Sure the curriculum is going to be exactly what our school system's looking for, Nicole. Not sure.
And if it were up to me, my kids, which I put them on 80s and 90s basketball.
Right.
So now they're little historical savants on 80s and 90s. They have arguments about, and this goes beyond that, but they have arguments about Wilt versus Bill Russell. They have arguments like, you know, Jordan, if you were going to start a team, would you start it with Jordan or LeBron? They haven't seen Jordan ever play.
Their kids aren't very bright if they're going to have that argument. If anybody can make the LeBron argument.
Of course, Snacks also told me J.J. Watt was terrible because he's always hurt. And he said that before last year when he got hurt. Snacks has been hurt for 1 year. And then he's hurt again. Mm-hmm. And now if I bring up J.J. And he goes, well, he's all excited because Tyrann Mathieu, who's a Cardinal where Grandpa used to coach, is a Texan. I told him yesterday, Tyrann Mathieu signed. Well, yeah, for 1 year, he's probably going to quit when he finds out how bad they are. If they're terrible, I said... Snacks. Sean Watson's back. He goes, yeah, Whitney Merciless is coming back. Great. He goes, and then J.J. Watt, who's terrible, is coming back, who's always hurt. And I mean, he's so negative. God.
Who's homeschooling him? Dell?
It's a lot like Dell's homeschooling.
He's not wrong.
He's the most negative about Houston sports I've ever seen.
Good Lord. Well, he's a Houston sports fan.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. No,
except he says J.J.'s terrible. And he goes, I said, J.J. will get in the Hall of Fame. He goes, J.J. will get in the Hall of Fame? He goes, he doesn't even play. I said, Snacks, he won Defensive Player of the Year for 3 years. You know who else did that? Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, Snacks. Except Lawrence Taylor played a lot longer before his body fell apart. Yeah, and then there's there's stuff that happens when your body starts falling apart. I don't know what.
What do you mean? You mean
your body was helped by something?
No, I didn't say. So I didn't natural. Say anything like that.
Well, if your body falls apart when you're
he's
young,
saying Lawrence Taylor used cocaine.
Yeah, but Lawrence Taylor.
But his body fell apart later in his career. If your body falls apart early in your career,
you have a back injury.
Quite frankly, cocaine guys, they were just fine. If you want to know the truth.
Cocaine guys
were just fine.
What about methamphetamine
guys?
Well,
I don't know. I mean, Doc Ellis.
Well, not methamphetamine.
What about acid guys? They were fine. You know what? You know who's not fine? Guys who tried performance enhancers. You know what happens to them? Look it.
They break down early.
Break down early.
Well, not everybody who gets hurt is using steroids.
Well, I didn't say that, but I said, you know what? That's what happened.
Look at Ken Caminiti when he ripped meat off the bone. Yeah. Like, that's... How'd you hurt your calf that bad?
No.
Like, oh, the calf completely separated from the bone, like a rib?
Yeah.
Like rib meat?
Yeah, like that. Like at Houston's where it just falls off.
Yeah. Like, wow, that's not, that doesn't seem normal. JJ just has a garden variety lower back injury, and he had a groin injury. Of course, he also does box jumps. He throws hammers. He karate kicks buildings. He does his workouts.
Will he be Thor or Captain America when he after his playing career?
Thor, because Thor is a comedy. Because Taika Waititi, Thor is actually really funny. Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah,
he's Mr. Glass, is what he is.
No, not in the movies. He's not.
No, he's not Mr. Glass. Not in the movies.
Yeah, well, he should. If they, you know, white people get upset. How come we can't have a white Mr. Glass?
Do we? Do white people get upset?
No, white
about
people
this?
Have never said that.
This but has got to be in your comment.
People what I'm saying is, you know what?
What I'm saying is because white people like to overreact when people of color are like, hey, what do you mean that guy has to be white? White people are like, we want a white Mr. Glass. And they're going to go JJ for Mr. Glass.
Uh-uh. Wait a minute. No. Mr. Glass, wasn't that
Samuel Jackson?
Oh, I thought it was.
In Unbreakable.
Yeah, but I thought it was. Was that a comic book movie?
In like Shyamalan, yeah. Well,
I watched it.
JJ
but I don't
might be the
it.
Black Panther someday. You don't know.
Hey. Then he probably wouldn't be called the Black Panther.
Maybe you don't know.
Why can't we have a white?
Why
Panther?
Can't he be? Why can't he be white?
White Panther?
Why can't Black Panther
because
be white?
Because as someone once said, all the other characters are White Panther. So what? You got so many white superheroes. Why do you need another one?
We need another. We got one in JJ. If you don't think that JJ is going to be a Marvel character, you're
JJ
wrong.
Will never be a bad guy in wrestling, even if he does go to wrestling.
No,
which I don't
think... He'll have the flag wrapped around
him. Yeah, he'll be like Jim Dugan without the cocaine.
Just the enhancers.
No, there's no enhancers with JJ.
No, in wrestling. They're legal in wrestling.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, he's talking about stuff tucked into his pants.
727 ESPN 97.5 713. Let's get Gilbert in on the other
to
side.
Get to Gilbert?
You want? Yeah, we're going to get to Gilbert on the other side. Shortest wait times in the industry.
That's
with Gilbert.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is. Look, Gilbert hasn't been waiting at all.
It's up to 15 minutes.
That's nothing.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 732 ESPN 97.5. Did anybody know where Lance
he just went to the bathroom, I think. For 3 minutes.
He
to
waited
go to the
to, till the break was about over.
He decided to leave 30 minutes before the break was over to go to the bathroom.
30 seconds before.
Yeah, 30 seconds. Excuse
right.
me.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh? And he took his phone with. He's going to make a call.
Yeah, he's reading Twitter.
Maybe he's calling Maddie to see what serial killer she's reading about today. I don't know. Let's get Gilbert in here. On ESPN 97.5. Gilbert, what's going on? Whoa. Did you hear that, Del? Gilbert might be sleeping, I think. Gilbert just might be sleeping. Hey, Gilbert. Hello? Yeah, Gilbert's sleeping. Lance is back. So, the largest U.S. cities as of 2016 were New York by far. And then it's L.A., Chicago, Houston. You know, we got four of the top 11. Austin's 11th. Dallas, 9. San Antonio, 7. Phoenix is 5th. If I can't, Phoenix has blown up. It's past Philadelphia, and it is blowing up. You would think San Francisco's down at 13. As far as market television markets go, I think we've moved up to number four. We have moved up to number four, as a matter of fact, as far as television. This stuff about Houston, I mean, I know that our owners have always played that up, that we're a small market, it's different here, we can't afford blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
We are, and when, you know, I got in a little discussion with Lamont about this weekend, is that you know, smaller town mentality, in the big cities, they don't think the way that we do sports-wise. We can stop saying that because we're as big as, we're the fourth largest. We're the fourth largest television market. We're the fourth largest city in the country. We are big city. So we can stop. I know that the owners, when we look at $151 million extension for Jose Altuve, how in the world are we going to be? Because we're big time.
Well, but the one thing that I do think is a real concern, and you know this too, is despite our population, we don't have TV and radio deals that are equal to the biggest markets. The Chicago deal, the New York deal. I know for a fact those are much higher.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's one of the big...
The New York deal is just stupid.
That's why it was such a... That's why. Yeah, I mean, you can't compare yourself to New York.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Gilbert.
Yeah. Gilbert.
Yeah.
What happened, Gilbert? How are you?
Fine. What's going on anyway?
What, did you fall asleep? This is the first time you've ever fallen asleep while you were waiting. What's going on? Why are you so tired? Did you not sleep last night?
No, I didn't sleep last night anyway.
What were you watching? What did you watch on your VCR last night?
Not that fall asleep anyway, you know.
Yeah, you couldn't fall asleep. You're so worried. What are you worried about?
Worried about what?
I don't know.
What are you worried about anyway?
Why did you call the show today? What are you worried about?
About the Rockets.
You are? What's the matter with the Rockets?
They go back in the playoff or not?
I think they're probably going to make the playoffs. I like their chances. Lance, you like the Rockets' chances of making the playoffs?
I think they're. Yeah, I mean, I would say if they don't make the playoffs, it'd be a catastrophe.
You think it'd be a catastrophe?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I got you.
That's my thought.
Well, that is interesting.
Is there anything else, Gilbert, that you were that was on your mind at all, or?
Yeah, we'll go to Astro Game.
Well, that's surprising.
Oh,
it's John.
Oh, well, that's
you want to. Well, Lance was going to go. He wanted
that can potentially be arranged.
I think Lance wanted to take you and his kids to all to a game.
Well, I don't know
about that. Really?
Yeah.
Well, Gilbert, I'm not sure.
You're right to be skeptical.
I don't know that I'd listen to the bad man if I were you.
Gilbert, do you think that would be fun?
Right.
Don't you think that would be fun?
I don't know.
You don't know? Okay.
I don't know. All right, well, talk to you later.
It was good talking to you, Gilbert. There's Gilbert right here on ESPN 97.5.
Subdued Gilbert.
He is. I never seen that. Gilbert didn't have anything really to add.
I don't
think
he appreciated you like, you know, faking that he could go to a game. I don't think he was thrilled with that. I think he was done with you after that. Like, when you suggested somewhat sarcastically that he could go at the game with Lance, I think that turned him off.
You think that was a problem for Gilbert?
Yeah, I don't think he took you seriously, and he thought to himself, this guy's yanking my chain.
You know what Gilbert said in his mind? I ain't for the bullcorn, but he didn't say bullcorn.
I didn't call you at 7:30 to listen to you jive me. So he decided to hang up.
Gilbert said jive.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah, he would, because he used to watch a lot of like Sanford and Son and stuff like that. I mean, Gilbert's probably locked in on 70s TV.
You say Sanford and Son, I just say 70s porn.
Yeah. Well, I think he's still locked in on that. That's what I was trying to get out of him, what he was watching last night on his VCR.
I don't want to hear any of that stuff.
Well, that's why he's tired every day, I think. Gilbert's busy.
On his VCR. But back to the Astros for a second, before Gilbert rudely interrupted me with his snoring. Right. They don't have the same, like, where do they get their revenue from? Ticket sales. The big chunk of revenue, this is why the Astros will be digging around for any TV deal and radio deal, and because that's the only way you can make really make additional revenue other than ticket sales and things you can control are how do you capitalize? Like all the Astros players who are, I can just tell you this behind the scenes, Astros players, they're all looking for anybody looking to do free radio shows. I can tell you the days of Jose Lima and Lance Berkman, that's over. All Astros want to get paid for everything, and that's fine. You know, they're in demand. They got more speaking engagements, and I got a buddy of mine who is an agent, handles marketing, and he said, man, the Astro, like, you can get good money for Astros related stuff, car deals, and the Astros organization is going to be the same way. They got to try to find more money. Well, the best way to do that is radio and TV deals, but I don't know what kind of radio and TV deals you can get in this market, comparatively speaking, to other major markets.
That's why
I don't know that you treat Houston the same way that you treat Chicago, New York, and even San Francisco or L.A.
Well, certainly not L.A. L.A. and New York and, you know, Chicago is another one.
Those are the three cities bigger than us, right?
No, right. No, but you know, as far as Phoenix goes Detroit. Forget about it. We are Detroit, Cleveland. Even Philadelphia. Now, I think you can probably get more in Philadelphia because you got a better television deal. But the Astros. I got a chance to take a look, and the Astros are in the upper half, and I believe top 10 as far as revenues are going.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I hate to out, you know, because Drayton used that and the Texans and Drayton was famous for hometown discount. You don't need, that's not happening anymore.
He's such a huckster.
Well, that's not happening anymore.
Well, hometown discounts?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're not a piddly ass city.
That's
town,
what I'm saying.
And we're not a piddly ass organization. And Jim Crane understands. Well, you know, now maybe you want to get hometown discounts for guys who aren't Jose Altuve. There ain't no such thing as hometown. Jose Altuve gave you a hometown discount by signing a bad contract. That was your hometown
that
discount.
That was. Oh, my God. You got him. You got him. So, at the best value in all of sports.
Now, dude, you know, hey, look, I respect the hustle of giving those little feeder contracts. Like, hey, Springer, want to sign this 10-year, $7 million deal or whatever they gave when they offered that deal to John Singleton and Springer, and Singleton's like, hells yeah. And Springer said, no, I'm good. We'll just see what happens. And then Singleton got over because he was terrible, and he's probably still getting paid to this day.
His suspension, I believe, ended his deal.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that was the last of it. I'm pretty sure that he is done now, and he lost himself a couple million.
Do you
bucks.
Remember what his contract was? I'm looking at it right
it
now.
It was 5 years, $10 million.
Ooh, it started in nine. There was a signing bonus, and then, yeah, it was 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19.
Oh, so he's got another year
19
after?
19 was five, but 500,000. Yeah, it went way down. Or maybe it's done. No. I think you're right. I think it canceled in 2017 because it said estimated earnings four seasons, $7.5 million.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Four seasons, $7.5 million.
For a guy just punches out all the time.
Right, and who couldn't make it to the big leagues. He was making $2 million in the minor league system. And I think this suspension just killed that. I'm pretty sure. But it was 5 years and $10 million. And the Players Association
was pissed.
But
kills it if they want to. Like, in other words, a moral turpitude or whatever. Like, Forrest
Whitley, they want to.
There ain't no canceling that. We're good. We're still good.
Well, no. You want that canceled. A dude who you paid $10 million to.
That deal.
Well, how many, under over number of a major league at bats for John Singleton?
Probably more than you think.
How many? How many are you going to bet? Are you going to guess?
180.
Oh, I'm going under.
Honestly, I have no idea.
I'm going to go under. 713-780-3776. We'll get you guys in.
357.
357?
Yeah.
Well, that's worth $10
million. How many home runs?
John Singleton?
Well, let me make sure this isn't a minor league. Let me make sure this is the
big league. In 2014, he had 310 at-bats. So,
oh, he did?
Yeah, and he hit 13
that's
that year.
That's half a season he was up.
Yeah, he hit 13 home runs that year and the year
Damn.
After
Remember
he had
him
won.
Hitting 13 home runs? That was when they were Crush City.
What year was that?
2014.
Oh, no. That was,
no, that was in they were losing 100 games.
That was 100 lost city.
Yeah. 80 games. 80,
yeah,
90.
They, yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. So 743 ESPN 975. These guys on the other side, Will and Chris, we'll get you guys in here.
Yeah.
713-780-3776.
So Men's Tea Clinic, just a quick shout out to Men's Tea Clinic for getting me back to where I needed to be. Just, boy, it was 2 years ago. I remember just completely being gassed, and that was a common theme. And I just started my draft stuff, and I worked radio starting at 6 a.m. And I, you know, the draft thing is a long, it takes a lot of work to do that. And I had no energy left. I mean, I was just dragging. And I remember the provider over at Men's Tea Clinic saying, well, we should get you tested for your testosterone level, because one of the big concerns is when you have fatigue level that you can't overcome. And I said, yeah, but you know, I just don't get enough sleep. And he goes, well, let's check it out. And my number ended up being low, which I actually, in hindsight, should have been very happy about, because that allowed me to, you know, they diagnosed that. They test and they give you results same day, very quickly, actually, within minutes. And then insurance company said, yes, we pay for it, because it's a huge quality of life issue. And it also is an overall health issue. And the benefits are wide ranging, from mental acuity to lean muscle mass increasing to much, much better energy. It can improve your libido if that's an issue for you. It can improve your drive just on the weekends to go do fun stuff. You really capture your life back. You get back to being the real you. So go to MensTeaClinic.com or give them a call at 8 o'clock here at 713-568-1175. That's MensTeaClinic.com. Don't you let out the
antidote. Yeah, party on a Sunday. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, if you are looking at lists, you're seeing Houston as number 7. But I have it on good authority that we are going to be jumping San Francisco. We are not, it's not up yet, but we will be number 4 or 5 in the next Nielsen deal. We will be number 4 or 5 television market with our population growth and everything else that's going on here at our surrounding area. We are the fourth largest city, period, but we will be moving up as far as television market goes as well. It just hasn't been, it's not official yet with Nielsen. That is happening. You've probably seen number 7 when you go Google it. But we will be up. As a matter of fact, a couple of spots. We will jump San Francisco. So I have that on good authority. That's happening. So, I mean, it is changing. We still have that smaller market mentality. I think in large part, and I think Chicago is a lot this way too. We are probably, and Chicago, the biggest small cities. We have that small city mentality. Now Chicago's a lot rougher, and Chicago has, you know, that death rate, the murder rate that's second to none.
I don't mind passing on some of that death rate.
Yeah. The murder rate is tremendous there. They act like a really, really, really big city in that respect.
In that regard.
But the people and the hospitality and the attitude, as opposed to New York or LA, is different, I think, in Houston and in Chicago. Having lived in both, I can tell you it's similar in Chicago, only, you know, you say D's and Dems and Dares over there, you know, as opposed to here where you say y'alls and stuff.
Yeah.
So
different.
It's, but you know, I like y'alls better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it is, we still have that mentality that we are a small, and we're not. We're not a smaller city.
No.
One of the things, though, that hurts our sports team is how many transplants there are. However, we are starting to get generations now that have moved here in the past, and they're raising them as Houston fans as opposed to the city where they came from.
Yeah, and I would imagine it's going to lock in. So there's a big migration in the 80s I'm sorry, guys, who are on hold. We'll get to you in just one second. Let me finish this thought. In the 80s, there was a big migration from, like, Michigan and areas where there wasn't a lot of work.
And the
work came down here and became a lot of school teachers and stuff. I remember at Lamar Consolidated, at my junior high, we had two of our coaches were from Michigan. And they came down. And
why would you want to live in Michigan?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't.
I don't know.
No one does.
And but yeah, you're right. I think you may have some of that, and you don't have that in Chicago. Like Chicago is
in Chicago.
That's
all you care
about. That's regional. Boston's regional. You don't just move to Boston unless you have to.
One of the things about here, though, as opposed to Chicago, when you go down the street, it's Chicago title. It's Chicago tile. It's Chicago cars. It's Chicago. It's all Chicago. Everything is Chicago. Here, everything is Texas.
Yeah,
you know, it's everything is your built. Everything is built around.
Do you want your, you want to be tied to Dallas like that?
No,
not me.
No, hell no,
not me.
But Garth Brooks the other night, I went to see Garth. It was awesome, and he just kept saying Texas. I'm in Texas, and it's Texas.
We're taught
Texas.
That from an early age. We're taught the, you know, you learn the Texas, our Texas. You learn the songs and everything.
Yeah,
you learn Texas.
You get
pride,
Texas pride.
State pride. But Chicago. Now Houston's becoming such its own thing. I learned this first of all, with the sweet tea argument that we had yesterday. Uh-huh. People are coming in. Okay, well, in Houston it does this, but if you go down to this, and if you go, and it really is, you know, if you think about it, Houston. I've had this discussion with chefs before, and with different Houston is really substantially different than Dallas. Like, we couldn't be more different than Dallas as a city. We're a lot different in a lot of different ways. And it is almost like Houston is, we're turning into our own little thing.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. No. But like, in Illinois, you never have Illinois pride. You just have Chicago pride. In Texas, though,
you
have
Texas
pride.
You've been to the rest of Illinois? You've seen the rest of Illinois?
Yeah.
It's amazing how nothing Illinois is. And then there's Chicago. Like, how the hell did this pop up?
Yeah, right. No. I had to drive it back to college. It's the worst. Will is here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Will.
Hey, good morning, y'all.
Hey, what's up,
Will? Yeah, I can agree with you more. I mean, they might as well just move that Texas State line with the Red River and just kind of let it run south of Dallas and might as well, you know, Dallas being Oklahoma.
That'd be amazing.
But I just want to talk a little bit about the Astros. So, you know, first and foremost, I'm glad that the organization is finally taking care of Jose Altuve. I was starting to get a little nervous there, but I'm glad that they got that taken care of. I think, you know, maybe it took an MVP to finally reel that one in, but he was probably on the best bargain in MLB. But my question to y'all, and then I'll hang up and listen, is who will be the next Astros player to get that multi-million, you know, probably hundreds of millions of dollars? Because I'm thinking Carlos Correa is probably the next one up. I mean, really the only question mark with him is can he compile a fully healthy season? You know, 30-plus home runs, 100-plus RBIs. I mean, he already, you know, shown the capability to hit over 300. And I just want to get your thoughts on that because I think he has two more arbitration years, and I think he'd be set to be a free agent at age 26, which, you know, would be right at the apex or right at the prime of his career. So I'll just hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Will.
I don't know that they do Springer. Here's the deal: is Springer and Keuchel's obviously coming up, and Springer's going to be coming up before Correa. I don't think they do $100 million deals with either of those guys. So I think Correa will be the next $100 million guy. I honestly think Keuchel walks. That's why you picked up Gerrit Cole.
You can't just let a guy walk. You got to trade him. Don't you? There's just so much value. You can't just let guys walk.
How do you trade him?
I know, but you can't just let a Dallas Keuchel walk. You got to move him. In a blockbuster deal that loads up your minor league system.
You're going for it now. You're going to trade him this season?
No, but is he up after this season?
Yes. He's an unrestricted free agent next year. This is it.
Once again, this is highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. But if you were to have any stumbles at all, you might have to consider something like that. Because you might say, if we move him, we can get two plus prospects.
You're moving Keuchel, your number two starter,
like,
in the middle of another pennant drive?
That would be like a 10% chance of happening.
I don't think that's happening. That's not happening.
You're just going to let him
walk? I think you let him walk and you get a compensatory pick.
Or you sign him to you can't even sign him to a four-year deal. He'll have something better on the market.
Yeah, he will have something better on the market, but I think whoever is going to do that is going to be overpaying.
Yeah, I guess it'll just be a comp pick.
It'll be a compensatory pick. You got three more years of Springer. You, Correa, you've got four more years. You got through 2021. Springer's the one that's that's why he's so pissed off, is that they didn't bring him up, and he's not going to be a free agent, an unrestricted free agent, until he's like 60 years old. That's one of the reasons I don't think you re-sign him either. He is, as we speak, he's 28 and he's got three more years. He'll be 31 by the time he reaches free agency. That blows for him. Chris is here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
What do you say?
Hey, I real quick, it was actually called for an AFC South call, but I don't think they're going to trade Keuchel either. It's a great point that you guys bring up, that it'll be in the middle of the season. So, hey, my AFC South question is, as the Texans have some injuries, we expect back and some players that we expect to be, we expect Tyrone to be good, Matthew, and we expect a lot of defenders come back. I watch a lot of the other AFC South teams because obviously that's a competition. And Lance, I mean, specifically for you, what is your boy Ballard going to do with some of these picks? Like, as they made this trade over the weekend, have you kind of readjusted? Where do you see the Colts going with their picks? They signed Eric Ebron, which is, above average tight end. I mean, he's not stellar, he's not Gronk, but I mean, he's a good player. Where do you see them going? And obviously without Luck, none of it matters. But with a healthy Luck, can you kind of give me your, they have three picks now in the top 47,
yeah,
I think. So can you kind of break down what you see them doing? And
I can just tell you what their needs are. I have no idea what they're going to do. I can tell you what their needs are. They need an inside linebacker badly. They need to get faster. They need to add, they need to add offensive line help. Frank Gore's gone, so at some point they could look at running back. Look, they got a bad roster. I was there last fall, and taking a look at, I was there for like 3 days at their camp, and I was looking at their roster compared to what, for what Ballard had to work with compared, and this is after he brought in Jonathan Hankins, Al Woods, who was pretty talented last year. I think he's already gone because he had a one-year deal. And I compared it to just what the Texans had, and I was like, man, the Texans are a lot better than where the Colts are in bed. Their roster, he's got a lot of work to do over there.
Well, it was a great move for making that trade and getting picks.
Yeah, so I don't know. Chris has just got to find – Ballard's just got to find the best guys. I mean, he's just – it really doesn't matter. It's no – they don't really have wide receivers anymore. Wide receivers now in need. We're used to not being – Dante Moncrief is gone. So, and T.Y. Hilton's still a little guy. So you need wide receiver. You need offensive line help.
You need everything.
You need, linebacker. You
running
need an
back.
Edge rusher. You've switched to a 4-3. Now you need an up-the-field defensive tackle. They need just to, they could use another cornerback, and they could use a safety to go with Malik Hooker. You compare it to the – I know the Texans have a lot of needs, but you compare them to the Colts, and this is with Andrew Luck having a questionable shoulder. You see why that is an uphill battle over there.
Are they taking Barkley if he falls to them?
I don't know. I mean, I know Ballard always says you don't overthink the great players, and that he's, and I think the thought is there that Saquon Barkley's special. But who has a bigger, and I'm trying to piece together who they would look at. And what I come up with is Tremaine Edmonds, Roquan Smith, Saquon.
Quentin Nelson?
I don't think they would draft Nelson. Even though they need it, I don't think. Well, based on what I know about Ballard, I think he's from the school that you don't take guards in the top 10. That's one of those philosophical deals. When you think you can go get Will Hernandez later.
Wow.
Or whoever.
I'd rather have Quentin Nelson.
I would too, yeah.
I don't care about that.
He's a mauler. I'm telling you.
I don't care about where you take him.
Nasty.
If he's going to be a 10-year, and who knows how many Pro Bowls
Roquan
and
Smith
all pro.
Could be too.
Yeah.
Roquan Smith, really, you know that. You've seen plenty of him. Like, who has a bigger impact on the game, a great guard or a great linebacker?
I got to protect that guy, though. I got to protect that guy.
Luck?
How the Cowboys got good? Well, for a year. You know how they got good that year?
How? Zeke Elliott?
That offensive line.
No.
That offensive line was solidified.
Yeah, Tyron Smith was
Martin,
a few years before
Frederick,
Zach Martin.
I mean, all of them.
They spent a lot of high picks on the offensive line, yeah. Lyle Collins, they basically, he's a first or second rounder, and they got him.
They still suck.
Undrafted free.
Still need linebacker help.
Yeah, well, they still suck because they're the Cowboys. All right, speaking of which, let's bring John Clay Wolf in here on ESPN 97.5. What do you say, John Clay Wolf?
Speaking of suck.
Well, speaking of Dallas, I meant. How's that intro? Have you ever had a better intro?
Speaking of suck, who's on line four? Hi, John.
Hey, it's John Clay Wolf. He's buying cars today.
I'm buying cars. I'm already in. I'm on 45 heading to Houston this morning. Actually, we've got a real random. There's a company that's got 150 trucks. They're all 15, 16, 17s, and either they're going out of business or they're changing their business model or downsizing or something. Anyway, and they're all real good miles. But they went to give me the VIN.com, the website, and put in 10 of them. And we bought them, and then the guy said, do you want another 100 and something? Anyway, so we're buying 150 trucks from one person through the website in Houston this morning. So I'm heading down there to meet these people and bring them a check.
How about that? Look at you.
Yeah.
And you got to look, and you got to look at them. But how do you do it when, you know, you sight unseen? I guess you get pictures and whatnot, but are people pretty honest with you?
They are. They're pretty honest with us. And then when our drivers get there to fund the deal and pick them up, they have a condition report that we've already generated based off of all the information we've got, and they match it up against that. And, you know, 9 times out of 10, very small percentage, less than about 1% of the time we have to adjust the price or pass on the deal. Mm-hmm. But we tell them before we leave, like, hey, we're coming, and if there's anything we need to know, you speak now or forever hold your peace.
Right.
So we give them a warning all the way through. And the people that are bluffing or not are bull-essing us. You know, they'll come off of it before it gets too deep most of the time. But yeah, they start off lying all the time, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we do. Give me the VIN.com. You want to sell your car? You got to. And it's a great price right now. And, oh, by the way, give me the VIN.com. We can beat your dealer, can beat CarMax, can do it all at givemethevin.com. That's John Clay Wolf. You can hear him Saturday mornings right here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
ESPN 97.5 KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station.